Welcome to the HMO Experience, the UK's only HMO-focused property podcast, where every Monday, Matt, Jamie and Steve will inform and inspire you about everything to do with HMOs, rent to rent, and how to set up and grow a successful HMO business, whether you're just starting out or you're already on your way.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris and welcome to episode 32 of the HMO Experience podcast. Last week, you bore with us whilst we talked about drains. This week, we're talking pest control. I am here with the fantabulous Steve Mitchell. Say what's up, Steve?
What's up?
Also, quick update on Jamie, week six of...
He's gone quiet.
Has he?
Yeah, since he sent that photograph, we've not heard hide nor hair of what he's up to.
If you've been following Love Island, hopefully you've been rooting for Jamie.
So just to point out, this is not the regular Love Island. This is like Love Island for mature individuals. This is not like the youngsters version.
On ITV7. It's been moved from ITV2 to ITV7.
Apparently the ratings are But one thing I did hear on the grapevine, I've not experienced this, but apparently Jamie's done his first salmon.
Salmon?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means.
I have no idea what that means either.
If you know what salmoning... Salmoning?
Salmoning.
Is it salmoning? Perhaps it's got something to do about like jumping into a pool.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay, I get that. You run up to the pool and you dive in, keeping your hands by yourself, and you're going like this.
Oh, like when a salmon jumps
into the pool.
Can you imagine Jamie and his budgie smugglers?
Yeah, I know.
Apparently he's got red ones.
Has he?
Yeah, don't tell me.
Moved from yellow ones?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Baywatch star.
Nice. Well, look, Jamie, like, we need to get a video caption of Jamie salmoning.
Yeah. I'm sure we can find one somewhere.
So ITV7, if you're watching and listening, please send us that clip. Now, I've lost my train of thought, but we are talking
kind of
about... Kind of, like,
actually,
loosely.
Salmon's not a pest.
So,
no, salmon's aren't pests.
No, not a pest. Pest control, yes. So, last week we covered drains, super important, a very exciting topic. This week we're covering pest control, equally as important, equally as exciting. So, Steve and I are going to share our respective stories. I only have a couple. Steve has probably got a few more, but the key takeaways from this episode will obviously be revealed during the course of the episode. So in order to give our listeners all of this exciting information, Steve, why don't you kick us off with your most horrifying pest control story?
Right, okay. So I've had probably three pest control. Let's call it two and a half.
Okay, two and a half.
So the worst one I probably had is bed lice.
Okay.
So and over the last 5 years, we've had two incidents of this, all in the same house.
Yeah.
And I, the first time this happened, because I'm kind of like process systems, all that kind of.
Yeah.
I didn't have a process or a system for it. So got a call from one of our customers who incidentally just come back from holiday, so there's clue number one.
Okay.
And said, I've just been bitten all over. I said, well, and it was in the summer. So I said, is it like a mosquito bite?
Yeah.
So what we don't want to do is sort of overreact.
Yeah.
So I said, can you send me a photograph of the bites? And he sent me a photograph, and then I went on to Google Images, and I put in bed lice bites, and you match the two pictures up, and it was almost identical.
Okay.
And bed lice will tend to attack certain areas of your body, so it's sort of kind of around the ankles, on the back, and on sort of like around the wrists and the forearms.
Yeah.
And there's only one way that bed lice can come, two ways that bed lice can come into the property. The first one is on furniture. So if you're buying used furniture.
Yeah.
Or you're buying it from a charity shop or something like that, then the first question you want to ask is, has the furniture been treated?
Yeah.
And depending on what you're buying, if you're buying like a bed frame, you can sort of inspect it.
Yeah.
But if you're buying like a divan base, which is kind of all enclosed, then you're going to want some assurances from the shop or company that you're buying it from. That if this is secondhand, that it's been treated. If you're buying new furniture, and we always promote Fusion, we've never had a problem with their stuff. It's always been where we've bought secondhand furniture, and it's come in on the furniture.
Yeah.
The second way that bed lice can come into a property is where it's transported on people's bags or clothes.
Okay.
So... if you start to, or if you get a call from someone saying there's a problem with bed lice and cleanliness and all that, and they've just moved in, I'm almost certain that it's probably the person that's actually brought it in with them.
Yeah.
Because you can go back through your track record, it'll be obvious. You've had no historical problems. Someone's moved in, and with like in a week or so, there's a problem. So they brought it in. Or, which is the situation that we had, where someone went on holiday. They came back from holiday, and then they were covered in bed lice. And the way that bed lice, I feel this might episode might go on a little bit.
Yeah, go on, tell it, like, so, share it.
So the way that bed lice come in is that from the hotel rooms that they've been in, where you're storing your luggage on the floor or above a wardrobe or something like that, but mainly on the floor, they'll find their way into the bag.
Yeah.
They just sit there. And then you come back home, you unpack your stuff, and then boom, you've got a problem. So if you encounter bed lice, you've got to act quick.
Yeah.
Because bed lice tend to migrate.
Mm-hmm.
So the policy and the process that we put in is if we get a call for suspected bed lice, we will treat it as bed lice. And first thing is we ask for photographic evidence. The next thing we do is we ask the customer to take photographs of the bedboard. So if you pull the bed out, you've got the bedboard, you've got a couple of stays that go along the vertical that attach the headboard to the bed base. And if you look in the little tiny crevices, because that's where they tend to like to congregate, if you can see little dark spots, then chances are you've got a problem. We then ask the customers to look on the mattresses, and I'm starting to itch, actually, as we're talking about.
I've been itching whilst you started.
We ask the customers to take a photograph of on the mattress where you've got the top of the mattress and then you've got the side wall of the mattress. You normally have like a little sort of edge that goes around the side of the mattress. So if you lift that up and inspect underneath there, that's another... place that they kind of like to
hang stay. Out.
Also, on the mattress or on the bedclothes, if you start to see blood splattering, because what will happen is that the bed lice will look for food, and its food is our blood. And what they do is they inject an anesthetic through their, I think it's called a pubis, that they then stick into you, so the anesthetic sort of numbs the skin. They withdraw the blood, and as you're sort of tossing and turning, you'll like splat them. So if you start to see little dried spots of blood, then that's another another sign that you've got a problem. But the thing is that because they've come into the room on a suitcase, it probably means that they've infested the wardrobe, they've migrated across the carpet, and now they're into the bed. So they kind of move around. So that means that you've got to get a professional in as quickly as possible. So part of your power team must be a pest controller. What you need to do is get everything sprayed. Now, we use a really good company in Bedford. And what they do is they charge us, I think, like 120 quid to come back and do two sprays.
Okay.
Because what we ask the customer to do is to leave everything where it is. We ask them to bag up their duvet, their duvet cover, their pillows, their pillow cover, their clothes, and they need to go and get it all dry cleaned.
Okay.
A simple wash won't necessarily cure the problem, because where the bed lice lays eggs, the eggs won't, the washing won't necessarily kill. If you send it to be dry cleaned, where it's using a high temperature, that will just sort of kill it. So unfortunately, that's a cost that the customer has to bear. With their clothes, we suggest that they should get that dry cleaned as well. And what we do is we provide them with black bin bags. So all they're doing is, in from their wardrobe stuff, they're putting a whole bunch of stuff in black bin bags still on their hangers, and they're transporting it out of the house down to the dry cleaners to get it cleaned in that fashion. And obviously you have to be up front with the dry cleaners, because you don't want to infect their premises as well.
Yeah.
So what that's now done is that's taken all of the sort of soft furnishings and soft materials out, and that means that the pest controllers can come in with their spray, and they're going to spray everything. They're going to spray the underside of the bed, the mattress, the carpets, in the wardrobes, behind desks and chest of drawers and bedside tables and all that type of stuff. And then you can't go in that room for 12 hours from fumes. The carpets, the curtains will get sprayed. Everything basically gets sprayed. Now, normally this stuff doesn't stain, or it doesn't leave a residue or anything like that. But if you've got like black, then you might find that you're going to get a little bit of a white residue, which is one of the reasons why we don't go for black stuff.
Sure.
So the guys come in, or the girls come in, they've blitzed the whole place, and they've come out. And unfortunately, the customer can't go back in. So that's why it's important that you get this done in the morning, so that by the time the spray has started to dry out, it's kind of dry for when the customer comes back. And in an ideal world, they would have bought a brand new duvet cover, maybe a new duvet, new bedding and things of that nature. So once that's been done, you might think that that's the end of it. And unfortunately, it's not. Because whilst that will sort of capture maybe like 95 is the statistic that I've been getting, 95% of the bugs, you have to get the guy to come back in a week or 10 days later to give it another spray, just as like a final catch-all, in order to kill off anything else that might be there. Because the other thing that will happen is that as the bed bugs or the bed lice start to get hungry, because they're not feeding anymore, because you're not in the in that room, they'll start to migrate towards a source of food.
Mm.
And so as they're walking across the carpet, they're starting to pick up the, I won't call it poison because it's not poison, but the chemical that they sprayed around. And then that's what's going to get them little suckers.
Yeah.
So it's a two-stage process. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I'm kind of risk adverse. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to, once that's been done, I'm going to go in and I'm going to get some tarpaulin, and I'm going to wrap up that mattress, and I'm going to take it out, and I'm going to go and buy a new mattress.
Right.
Now, you might sort of think, as I'm itching myself, you're itching yourself.
I've just been itching all along.
You think, why would you want to do that? Because they've sprayed it. Well, you can do that. But the pest controller won't give you 100% guarantee.
Mm.
And the problem is that if you've got, as it happened with us, it was in a 7-bed property. If it does happen to migrate to the next room and down all over the house, then you've got a much bigger problem.
You don't want any of that.
So it's better to go and buy a new £100 mattress and suffer the cost of that than having to get the whole house fumigated and potentially replace seven lots of mattresses and maybe 7 bed bases. Mm. And so therefore, it seems to be the logical choice for me.
Yeah, definitely. So, look, that is a lot of detail about bed bugs. But also, like, the steps that you are required to follow in order to kind of contain the outbreak as such are going to be super important as well, right? So, you know, acting quickly once it's been notified, obviously getting a professional in to spray, making sure that the customer or the housemate, you know, takes their bedding to the dry cleaners or buys a new duvet and pillow set.
Yep.
Making sure, you know, you or advising them that, that they need to get their clothes dry cleaned as well, just to make sure. And then obviously there's going to be two visits from the pest control guy. The first visit will kill 95% of the bugs. The second visit will just make sure.
Yeah.
And then the last step is to make sure that you change your mattress. But by doing so, wrap it up in tarpaulin, cling film, whatever it is, to keep it vacuum packed.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's a disposal element as well.
Yeah.
And then making sure that a replacement is ordered promptly. And also in the intervening time or in the time in between, like, I guess you need to rehouse or provide some sort of alternative accommodation for your housemate, right? For your customer. Exactly.
But it's only for like a potential 24-hour period.
Okay.
So we're lucky enough to have a portfolio, and we have what's called the ER. So the ER is the emergency room, which we keep on standby for any potential issues. Now, you might be thinking out there, well, why aren't you renting it out and getting an income on that? And what I believe is because I'm building in 8% void into my overall business. And the reason it's 8% is because that's 1/12. And that means that we are budgeting for every room in our portfolio to be empty for 1 month of the year. Mm-hmm. It's actually more cost effective for me to do that and have somewhere to put them at very short notice than have to go and get a hotel room or a bed and breakfast room because there may not be any availability, and therefore, what am I going to do?
So
we do have to make sure the customer's looked after in that respect.
Yeah, nice. So look, we've covered bugs, which are probably one of the two or three main pests that you'll encounter.
Yeah.
Have you had an issue with mice before?
Have, yes.
Yeah.
So that's the other one that I've had. Again, it was an old Victorian property.
Yeah.
And this was kind of self-inflicted because the customers weren't very good at putting rubbish out.
Right.
We weren't very good at insisting that the customers sort of take the bins down to the collection point so that it can be emptied up. And what happened was you started to get a build-up of rubbish at the back of the house.
Yeah.
So we started noticing that there was some claw marks on the black sacks, spilling of sort of food waste and refuse at the back. And then a customer sort of contacted me one morning and said, "I can hear scratching under the floorboards." I thought, "Oh God. Here we go." So I said, "Well, we'll get someone out. I don't know what the issue is." So we called out. We actually went on to Google and we put in Pest Control Bedford, and we went for one of the ads. And the ad came up saying, "Pest Control Bedford, solve any problems, give us a call, all sorted. The guy actually come from Boston in Lincolnshire because it's one of these sort of ad capture things. So the whole thing cost me about £250 for a consultation because he'd come all the way from Boston to Bedford, and then he had to go back again.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'd skipped past that ad section and found a local supplier, it would have cost like £60.
Yeah.
So, which was what happened on the second time, because I decided not to go with him because he was saying, "Well, we need to come back and do a whole series of baits. We need to come back and check weekly."
Yeah.
So it's going to cost like £700.
Yeah.
I said, "No, I'm not playing that game." So contacted a local lady. She had oodles of experience.
Mm.
She had customer testimonials, and what she did was she lifted up one of the floorboards to have a look. And the things that you need to spot if you've got a rat or a mice infestation, or particularly if it's a rat, is that their droppings look like raisins.
Okay.
And also what you'll see along the skirting boards is what looks like smeared grease.
Okay.
So this is the stuff that's on their coating, on their fur, which helps them sort of the fur become waterproof because they can swim. And what you'll see is like this smearing along the side of their what's called their runs. So when we lifted the floorboard, we could see the droppings. We could see where it had brushed up against the what do you call them, the not the rafters the bits on the floor where the floorboards are.
Beams.
Yeah. Yes. We call them beams. you can see where it sort of run along it, and it had like this black smear along. So he said, yeah, you definitely got a problem. So we got these humane rat traps.
Yeah.
Nothing, we didn't find anything.
Right.
Because what she'd actually also done is found out where the likely den was, and she put some rat poison down. Mm. Probably about 2 or 3 weeks later, we didn't have a problem anymore.
Oh, no.
So when you're starting to put rat poison down, you've got to make sure that the housemates are aware.
Mm.
So it's always, in my book, best to be upfront with your customers. Mm. Because they were part of the problem. We were part of the problem, but they were also part of the problem. And, and it's an opportunity then to reinforce house rules about cleanliness, about refuse disposal and all that type of stuff. And in fact, one of the customers sent me a video of the rat where it actually came into the house through a cat flap, which was the previous owner's. It scurried along the kitchen. We had sort of like one of these, you won't be able to see this on the podcast, but on the video, on the YouTube, it had a bin sort of about that tall.
Yeah.
And what it does, it reached up. So this is probably now sort of like 7 or 8 inches in length. And he was like poking through the top of the bin. The customers were video and sent me the video. I thought, oh, Christ, yeah, we've got to sort this problem out.
Oh,
but again, it's nothing that I can do. I've got no experience in that. And in these situations, you've got to get professionals in. And unfortunately, you've got to suck up the cost. It's a cost of doing business. But you can avoid this if you get your customers to do simple things like dispose of refuse properly.
Definitely waste management and waste is key, management. Right?
Yeah.
I think we've had not had any experience of the bed bugs, but we've had mice spotted in two of our houses. It was rectified pretty quickly. We got then the first one. We looked for a local supply. He came out, fit some grills and some of the access points, and put down some traps. Nothing was caught, but and the issue was resolved because I think he came back for two visits, about 10 days apart. The second time round, we actually contacted the council. So our properties are in Brent. We contacted Brent Council. They've got a pest control department. And actually, their pest control service is pretty comprehensive and very economical. So we paid 120 quid for 3 visits.
Okay.
And they, first visit, they came down, they carried out an assessment, put down some humane traps. And then they carried out 2 subsequent visits in the 2 weeks after. So it's worthwhile checking whether your local council has a pest control service, because you might find that they're going to be far more economical, more price conscious than going for a local supplier. And also their service is fairly comprehensive, because they don't just deal with residential properties, they'll deal with commercial as well. So they need to offer additional services in that respect.
Yeah.
Those two instances were dealt with pretty quickly. And I think with our council, we get like a 6-week or 8-week guarantee. So if after the first 3 visits, they don't find anything, and then thereafter we go back to them and report a sighting, then they'll come back and deal with the remedial works.
That's much better. We didn't get any of that.
Yeah,
it was like,
pretty good.
Pay your money, hope the problem's gone away. If not, call us back and we'll charge you again.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty good. And only recently in one of our houses, the housemates have spotted a rat walking around in the back garden. And we think it's because of the neighbouring property having had a clear out of their garden. And it's obviously disturbed a place where they hang out.
Mm.
So we've had one rat sighting just walking across the back garden. And we actually had a dead rat spotted as well. So clearly there's poison down somewhere around the perimeter of the house. And we had to get that picked up by a pest control guy. But really, there's nothing that we're doing with that right now because we just asked the housemates, look, has it been spotted in the house? Was it just in the garden? If it's just in the garden, how often has it been spotted? If there's, you know, if it's something like that's going on daily or every other day, okay, cool, we'll go and deal with it. If this has been a one-off or a couple, you know, it's been a couple of times over the last 2 or 3 weeks, then let's just keep an eye on it and just be aware of the fact that, you know, it's even more important to make sure that you get rid of the waste properly. You notify us when there is, when you do have a sighting. We're a bit more mindful when we carry out the inspection to make sure that, you know, we keep an eye on it ourselves to see whether we've got any, whether we see any obvious signs. But I think they're really the only 2 or 3 instances where we've been fortunate enough, touch wood, you know, not to have to deal with anything that has caused too much of a panic.
Mm. I mean, the one that I'm dreading, and I'm sure I'll never come across it, but it's cockroaches.
Yeah.
You just leapt off the side.
No, mate. I was on holiday in Spain. I spotted a cockroach. It's just... Anyway, can we move on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we have...
I mean, if that happens, I'm out of it.
Yeah, no. Can we have... Oh, on that note, Steve, can we have your final word, please? What's the final word on this one?
So what I'd love to know is if you've had cockroaches in your HMOs, what have you done to resolve that issue? Because I wouldn't even know where to begin with that one, because that is a serious. So if you've had any issues like that, please do get in contact. Maybe we can invite you onto the HMO Experience podcast and you can share your action plan for dealing with that.
I'll let Steve handle that one.
We'll get Jamie to do it.
Yeah, we'll do Jamie when he's back from Love Island.
So to my mind, the final word is you've got to have a process in place that can be put into action at a moment's notice if you get any of these issues. If you've got staff, they need to be well drilled into what the process is. If you're doing it yourself, you've got to make sure your customers know what their responsibilities are. You need to know what your action plan is and make sure that everything runs smoothly. Because the last thing you want, particularly if you've got something like bed lice, which is quite common, is to have that spread amongst the whole house because then you've got some serious problems. So the final word is have an action plan.
Yeah, great final word, Steve. Thanks for that. So, look, we're going to wrap it up with this episode, episode 32.
I think so.
Yeah, I think we're right.
Yeah.
But look, obviously, as Steve mentioned, we would love your feedback, even though I'm not really looking forward to it, about cockroach management, but also any other pest control stories that you have and ways that you've dealt with them. Make sure you head over to our Facebook page, The HMO Experience. Leave us a comment and some feedback on there. Also, leave us a comment on the YouTube channel. And whilst you're there, make sure you subscribe to The HMO Experience as well for weekly videos. Make sure you come and see us, but don't tell us about cockroach stories at PPN St Pancras, which is on the third Wednesday of every month at Impact Hub, King's Cross. And what's the bonus there, Steve?
If you come up to the registration desk and say, I am Matt Harris, we'll let you in for free.
Not me, but me. And also look out for hashtag HMO Hacks. And they're going to be on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. And if you have any specific questions around HMOs, whether it's pest control, whether it's drains, whether it's systems, procedures, marketing, whatever the case may be, make sure you post a question either on our Facebook page or on social using hashtag HMO Hacks. And for now, Steve, we've just spent almost 30 minutes talking about pest control.
Who would have thought?
I know, it's amazing, though.
Eh? Yeah.
So we are going to say goodbye for this episode. It is goodbye for me. And it is goodbye from Steve.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. We'll see you on the next episode for next week, which is emergencies and call outs. So make sure you tune in for that. And we'll see you later. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the HMO Experience. Don't forget that all of the resources mentioned in each episode will be available on our website, www.thehmoexperience.co.uk. We regularly update our website with new content to help you along your HMO journey. So make sure you check out www.thehmoexperience.co.uk for more details. Also, remember to join our online community by liking the HMO Experience Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel.